You may know you're listening to this show along the Marketing Podcast Network, but did you know there are other great shows on MPN to help your business? Christy Hyler hosts a fantastic podcast called Own It. Christy, tell us more about the show.
Own It is all about celebrating women and non-binary advertising agency owners. We talk about buying out of the Boys Club of Advertising because less than 1% of ad agencies are owned by women.
And where can people subscribe?
You can find the podcast at untilyouownit.com. We're also on the Marketing Podcast Network at marketingpodcast.net. And of course, you can subscribe wherever you get your podcasts.
You heard her. Go subscribe.
On Brand is brought to you by my new book, Get Scrappy, Smarter Digital Marketing for Businesses Big and Small. Available now at Amazon, Barnes & Noble, or your favorite bookseller. Publishers Weekly calls Get Scrappy a helpful digital marketing Bible. You can read the first chapter, get special digital extras, and learn more now at GetScrappyBook.com.
Welcome to On Brand, a podcast for brand builders by brand builders. Here's your host, Nick Westergaard of Brand Driven Digital.
Hey, brand builders, have we got a show for you? This week, we have a very special episode for you because this week, we will begin celebrating 100 interviews and guests, first by coming full circle with our very first guest on the show, Patrick Hanlon. Patrick is one of the leading brand practitioners in the world. He is CEO and founder of Thinktopia, a global strategic and brand transformation practice for Fortune 100 companies, including American Express, Levi's, Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation, PricewaterhouseCoopers, Kraft Foods, Johnson & Johnson, Yum Foods, Wrigley, PayPal, Gap, the United Nations, and others. His book, Primal Branding, is the seminal work that looks at brands as belief systems that people opt into. Hanlon's primal branding construct is now recognized by YouTube as their recommended method for designing and attracting social communities. Hanlon's latest book, The Social Code, Designing Community in the Digital Age, defines how to create communities via social media and how to attract advocates who become so passionate about your success that they are willing to create it themselves. He has been quoted in Fast Company, Business Week Online, Advertising Age, Adweek, Entrepreneur, CNBC, and NPR, as well as media around the world. Hanlon is an online contributor to Forbes, Advertising Age, and others. He was also featured as subject matter expert in the 10-episode TV documentary series, The Kennedy Files, from Asper Media. Pat, welcome back to On Brand.
Hey, Nick. Thanks. It's great to be here. It's wonderful to be here. I mean, 100 episodes. It's incredible.
You are the very first repeat guest here, and that's not to say that we will that would certainly be a very strange podcast.
Can I add that to the bio?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
I was the very first and the very first repeat.
Yeah, and that's not to say that we won't just queue up the next 100 guests based on the previous 100 guests. We will talk to new people, including a very special second part of our 100th episode next week as well, but we'll leave that to mystery. And speaking of mystery, if anyone listening is wondering who has replaced the dulcet tones of your regular podcast host, this is my special Barry White voice for the 100th episode, because when you're celebrating your 100th episode of speaking and recorded word, that's always a great time for the vocal gods of the world to grab a hold of your vocal cords and say, not this week. So
and I do throttle you. Yeah.
Exactly. I do have some congestion, but that's fine because I am the host. You are the guest. So what has happened in the world of branding since last we spoke?
Wow. Right?
Yeah, softball question.
Yeah. Well, it seems like everything has changed. So much has changed. And it's been not that long on the calendar, about 2 years, right? And so many things have changed. And, not just Trump being elected, but, I was just thinking before we got on here, is this the end of authenticity? You know, everyone was out about being authentic and everything and a few weeks ago. And, welcome to the new era of fictional reality, right?
Well, that is interesting because it seems like We talk a lot about authenticity with branding. It's one of those hard things to get your arms around. And here comes, kind of sailing along, an enormous, I think fair to say, pretty inauthentic brand. And so I think a lot of people are kind of, you know, scanning their own strategy and saying, but authentic's still important, right?
I think it is. I mean, I think that, I don't know if authenticity is important. I guess that, I don't know if the word authenticity is authentic is important. We didn't used to have that word. Maybe we're not going to have that word again. But I think that trust is certainly important. And I think that's where authenticity kind of comes from. You know, you want to be able to trust whoever you're with. And I think when you're talking about brand as community, which I do, I look at brand. I mean, I have a kind of a laundry list of things that have changed. But if you're looking at brand as community, in other words, your brand is not your product or your service or what you say about it. It's what others say about it, your users and consumers and customers say about you. And what they say about you is, and this is, can be in consumer reviews and whatever, but the what they say about you is way more important. It has become way more important now than what you say about yourself. Right? I mean, people check you out. Most shoppers check you as a reviews. Is this a good product or a bad product? And you can see people doing that in the aisles at the grocery store. You know, how's the, is it a good product, bad product? How's the customer service? You know, how does it rank? And so on and so forth. And that's become important. And that's a gateway to trust. And the other thing that's changed over the last couple few years, and I think that these, I mean, it's like almost like a switch turned where all of a sudden these things have become totally important, but it's your product build is always important, but of course, but so is your community build. And so many times, especially I do a lot of work in Silicon Valley and out on the East Coast as well. And people are so focused on their product and getting that straight and looking at its, you know, the features, benefits, its competitive advantage and so forth. But they forget that they're going to have to build a community around that. And thanks to today's user media, thankfully, you don't need $6 million to launch a new product. And so that has put a lot of products, new products on the map that ordinarily would not have been there. But building that community is incredibly important. This year we won, I don't know if I've told you this before, but anyway, we won a gold award for the best eco-tourism enterprise in Africa. And we had $0, no advertising budget, no marketing budget, no dollars for PR. And I was called in to help strategize and figure out what the purpose and reason for being was and all that kind of stuff. And someone else handled PR and all that. And we made it happen. And it was good for Nebosho, which was the it's a conservancy in East Africa in the Masai Mara. And the project beat 50 other countries and 50 other marketing firms and so forth. And also proved out, I think, that social media can work to build success. So the community you build is just as important as the product you build, is what I'm getting at. And we helped a conservancy in Africa. But the so that's another thing. And then I think also there's no longer distinction over the last couple of years between consumer marketing and B2B. And if you look at B2B, what in consumer marketing, it's all about the user reviews. And in B2B, it's always been about the testimonials, right? Who's used you and all that kind of stuff. We want quality. We all want validation. And, you know, so there we go. Everyone, and besides everyone today, works as a living, not just for a living, but as a living. And we take our work home with us. And if you're a millennial in San Francisco, you might have several different, or in New York or wherever on the planet, you might have several careers. You know, look at the way people describe themselves on LinkedIn these days. They list the job they have and the job they want and their volunteer passion project, right? And this is just the way the world turns today.
Yeah, well, and you talked about there not being a big difference between consumer brands, B2B brands, and I also, as I look at your bio and the other softball I was going to throw, was since we spoke 2 years ago, you were also a part of the TV documentary series, The Kennedy Files. And sure. I'm someone that's fascinated by history, presidential history. So, and obviously there's even another movie coming out now about Jackie Kennedy. And I'd love to hear, for those that may have missed the documentary or those that may be thinking now a little bit more about presidential history, legacies, presidential branding and such, what's the short story on the Kennedy brand?
Sure. Well, the question that they asked me was, are the Kennedys a brand? And the answer is yes. They are a brand in the sense that they, well, as you know, and anyone who's listened to your first podcast, I look at brands as belief systems. And once you create a belief system, you attract others who share your beliefs. And that's what attracts community, right? Or builds community. And so belief systems all have a creation story. They have a creed. They have icons. They have rituals. They have a special lexicon. They have non-believers. And they have a leader. And the Kennedys certainly have all those. They fill in all of those blanks. Jackie's, I mean, you talk about icons. Jackie, well, both of them as a couple were iconics for sure. And he was the young swashbuckling president, you know, and a war hero from World War II. And she was the iconic, both as a first lady of course, but also as a fashion, she was a fashion, continued to be a fashion icon, even after she was no longer in the White House. Mm-hmm. And worked, I think, at Vogue, and then at one of the publishing companies. So she became very well known for that. And as a matter of fact, I think the Smithsonian, they sell a pair of Jackie O sunglasses to this day. So, yes, and then there are also photography is iconic, and there are, God knows, a zillion, I'll just put a rough number on it, a zillion photos out there of them at Hyannis Port or at the White House or Jackie on the street, and, of course, all the photos during the assassination and so forth, which are a part of our history as a nation. And then, of course, the in terms of creed and so forth, the famous "Ask not what your country can do for you, but what you can do for your country," which is still a question that resonates. And in terms, and that would go and file that also under sacred words, and profiles of courage that Kennedy wrote or co-wrote, which won the Pulitzer Prize. And all of that, when you mix all of that together, of course, they are a brand and a very resonant one. And they continue to be one. There are fewer Kennedys that put themselves forward these days, but certainly Caroline's still out there and some of the other guys. So the Kennedy, and beyond that, I think that it's this myth that keeps being resurrected, this sort of back in the 60s, they called it Camelot, mm-hmm. right? And so that whole notion of the two young lovers, king and queen, so to speak, Arthurian legend, still plays on.
So kind of an extension of the question that the documentary asked you, are all presidents brands?
Yeah, yes, yeah. In the sense that, again, in the sense that they are surrounded by a community of people that are so passionate about their success that they created themselves, i.e. voters, the electorate. And that was, we'll just take a quick step, leapfrog to Trump. That's exactly what he proved out, right? and he used social media to do it, and it was an excellent social media campaign. He rallied those people. He found out what pieces were or issues were important to the American public, and then he would come up with his own stance on it. And from his own point of view on it, whether it was people are concerned about immigrants, people are concerned about the economy, people are concerned about the war, people are concerned about this, that, and the other thing. And he would come up with his own stance on it, tweet it out, and it would be, it started out being, I guess, irreverent and authentic to him, and certainly not. I mean, if we just talked a minute ago about is it the end of authenticity? I think it is the end of spin doctoring, because both Bernie and Trump just said what they felt, and it was not, you know, politically laundered in the same way that we're used to hearing. And I think that that was also another pivotal point that we saw in this election that we haven't seen before, and made those two candidates stand out and get pretty close to, well, pretty close to success in Bernie's case, and outrageously successful in Donald Trump's case.
Well, right? And it's interesting because it feels like to me, I get into kind of a strategic paradox explaining it, because it worked. Kind of what we said before, it worked, but it's like, I don't know how that squares with what you recommend, with what, not just you, but with I and most other people that teach and preach on branding about authenticity. And again, I feel like, I think you're onto something too, because like authenticity as a buzzword, as a mm-hmm. thing that you should like give a rubber stamp to, yes, ever good to be authentic. I like what you said just now about not being politically laundered. That I think that, you know, we did some of that and said, yep, and it's authentic too. But how do you, is that a paradox of, yes, I see that there are some aspects of the Trump campaign that certainly led to success, but if you are a brand out there looking at that and thinking, well, what should we do? It seems like there's some dangerous things that you could apply and perhaps do harm.
Yes. I think that what Trump appealed to at first a pretty finite group of people, angry white men. And then because the Democrats were not able to come up with a different candidate, I mean, even women have professed that they, yes, of course, they would love to have a woman in the White House, but not that one. And so it was really the failing, and politics is not my expertise or my sector at all, but the but just to analyze it from my point of view, the Democrats were not able to come up with the right candidate. I mean, it's in the same way the Republicans were not able to come up with the right candidate. They thought they were going to go with Jeb Bush. How crazy was that? And so traditional or conventional politics was pretty much just thrown out the window. And we'll see what happens as a result of that. Yes, and so the real question I think you're asking is, are there lessons for American marketers in all of this, U.S. marketers? And I guess the answer to that is that politics has now been disrupted in the same way that so many other categories have been disrupted, right, over the last few years. And yikes. Some things you don't want to be disrupted.
Yeah, well, it's interesting, right, too, because I guess I never thought of the, you know, we've seen certainly politics embrace newer forms of media, but the level of disruption, I don't think, and the severity, I mean, disruption is by its very nature a very severe, urgent concept, and I think that is probably fair one to apply here.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah. I mean, disruptions is is destroying the old order and replacing it with the new order. And some of the things that are being disrupted right now, we kind of like, some of us. and in some ways, I mean, it's, we lived, well, and we'll be living for the next few weeks, I guess, or days, counting the days, in a world of diversity and open source technology and a lot of other things that we kind of enjoy. And it kind of flies in the face of, you know, bring us, you're tired, you're hungry, you're poor, to not want certain people, races, religions, ethnicities, not to welcome, no longer welcome them or make them feel welcome. And so it when you get to the creed of the United States, you start to wonder, well, what is that all about? What does that really mean? And it throws a lot of issues up into the air.
God, I didn't even think.
Doesn't it?
It does. Well, I thought back to, I think it's in, you know, just when politics, obviously not being my area of expertise, but I do think it's certainly a side lesson to all of this, because I can't help but, you know, in trying to get past the politics, think that there's some pretty big branding implications. But you just brought up one that I hadn't even thought of, because I want to say it's in your first book, Primal Branding, where you run, you know, you're kind of proving out how solid your system is of primal code, and I believe you put America through it as a country.
The United States.
Yeah,
absolutely. And the yes, you know, we have our own creation story. We have a creed, obviously, and an interesting. And sacred words and rituals, you know, voting for one, you know, and then more social things like the 4th of July, Thanksgiving, and so forth, which are our own pieces of culture. And the, you know, as it moved from the founding fathers and the patriots and so forth, versus Tories and all that, to which were cults in a way, from cult to culture, right? And so, an interesting thing, though, a point I should make is we were in China a few years ago and in Beijing, and we were going through a primal branding, and they brought me over to talk about it and share it with them and so forth. And there were people there from Baidu, Huawei, and other and entrepreneurs and so forth. And we were we thought, well, it'll be a great thing if we could have an exercise where we branded China. And so we thought, well, we'll start out the exercise by branding the U.S. and showing how it works and running them through all pieces of primal code and describing them and so forth. And the so we went through it. Okay, the creation story, you know, Plymouth Rock, Declaration of Independence, and the Revolution, I should say, and everything. And then got to creed, and it's all about democracy and freedom. And everyone's shaking their head. And I just kind of I broke through the fourth wall or whatever, and I said, "Well, why are you all shaking your head?" and they said, "No, it's not about freedom or democracy. It's about capitalism. The U.S. is about capitalism." And I went, "Oh, well, that's our economy, but it's not really what we've built the country on necessarily." I had to remind myself that I was in a communist country,
right?
And so forth. But so I guess with Trump, there's great question now about, well, is he in this to make a business? Is he in this to make business deals, or is he in this to govern and be the conservator of our values and more of less about being the boss and more about being the caretaker of our nation?
Yeah.
And I guess we'll see. We'll find out.
Well, in all of the work that you've done that I think is fascinating, you know, every few months, you'll send me a story about a different business, like YouTube. I forget some of the other examples, but maybe you could share that have taken the system, because I think that branding in people's minds is something that, oh, we do this and then we move on. But I think some of the ongoing work and how that system has been embraced by companies as a whole is fascinating. Could you talk a bit about that?
Sure, of course. Yes, we don't really want to move on. We want to keep things going. And once you create a belief system, you have all of these are all working parts. These are pieces. These are tools or activation points. And for some of us, we remember Bartles and James commercials. Well, those way back in the 90s, if you remember that, you should know that there were over 100 different commercials produced that were all about these two guys who were building a wine cooler company, and that was their creation story. And so they used that more recently, there was a spot out earlier this year about the Dodge brothers, you know, which was all about their creation story, you know, went back to the 20s or whatever. And, so you can create advertising activations, all sorts of marketing activations, you know, Instagram and whatever, using, their creation story, as I just mentioned, or creed, icons, rituals, sacred words, you know, for Starbucks, those words are ice grande skinny decaf latte. For the U.S., it's freedom, democracy, or capitalism. and so... I generally say that we create these communities around people, places, and things. People being personalities, Lady Gaga, David Letterman, Donald Trump, right? Mm-hmm. And places, whether it's cities or nations, or Disneyland or Disney World. And then things being products and services generally. Although they can be, products and services. And so we tend, as marketers, we tend to really focus on products and services, and they could be new products or existing ones. And if you're an existing brand, you probably have all of these pieces in place if you're 100 years old. It's a question of really identifying what they are, deconstructing the brand, identifying them, and then figuring out how to reboot them in some cases, which generally turns out as being redoing the corporate ID, changing the logo, changing the website maybe. Most people have websites now, so you're not inventing one. Or if you're a new product, then you are putting on, you're doing the same thing, creating the logo and creating the new website, right? And so once you do that, though, you need to constantly remind yourself that you need to keep these things sparking and alive. And the ability to do that is what keeps you relevant and what keeps you going. And because you're building, and because you want to do that, because you've built a community. And so you want to excite those people within your community. And you also want to make them feel that they are a part of something that's exciting. It's cool to be here, right? It's cool to be with these people, and it feels great to be with people who are just like me. And that's the kind of thing that you feel with certain brands that are, I mean, the standout ones are obvious. You know, we are always hearing something about Apple every day, whether we know it or not. And it could be just you using your iPhone or being on your MacBook. Or you could hear something about how Tim Cook is doing this or that with China. Or it could be something about the Apple stock price. Or it could be something about the next phone or the next iPad or the next laptop. Or it could be something about Apple and the driverless cars, which came out this week. Or it could be something, you know, totally different. But because we're hearing about Apple, and by the way, we hear the same things about Amazon, Nike, and other companies on a pretty regular basis. It doesn't have to be daily, but for those brands, let me just mention, it seems to be, right? But right. Because they're from different aspects, you know, if the financial world for the stock price or the, you know, product development or just the personalities at Apple, whether it's Tim Cook or the designers or other people that are there, it doesn't seem like it's overwhelming. It doesn't seem like it's the Energizer Bunny bashing, banging away at us, right? And so we just welcome that in, and it's just a part of our world. So it's less in advertising. We always wanted to be breakthrough, right? And as we broke through, we shattered some glass. And this is much more welcoming, and it's much more like feeling like being in a community. And the warmth of being in that community, you feel every time you walk into an Apple store, right?
Yeah.
And these are all people like me. And it's the same feeling people had walking into Starbucks, at least originally. You know, these are all people like me. And it's the same feeling you get when you get to go to a sports game with your favorite team. You know, you're all fans. Mm-hmm. And that warmth, that buzz, that sparkle, you know, affects us chemically, you know, dopamine and so forth. And we just get this great buzzy feeling, because we are all hardwired to want to be with other human beings. Being alone and isolated, you know, the monk on the mountaintop and all that kind of stuff is generally a form of punishment, right? Being in isolation. And so gratifying those things and satisfying those basic core primal human drives,
yeah,
is when you can blend that, meld that with your product or service or community or person, that's what works. And you want to keep that going. So it's not something you just, oh, we launched that product and now on to the next line extension or whatever, or we're all done. a lot of times I hear from people, oh, yeah, we just did our branding. And, you know, 99.99% of the time they've just done their logo and they've just done their website, redesigned the website.
Right.
Well, that's game on from our point of view. Right. And that's just a corporate ID. And that's one of the great things about, you know, just the word branding. Is that it means so many things to so many different people. I think I sent you that article I did for Forbes back in the summer. A student at one of the schools, art schools, went out and asked 100 different people, experts in branding, design, advertising, marketing, you know, what is a brand? And she got 100 different answers. And that's so crazy when you think about it, because in marketing, everything else is so clearly defined. And so, and there are numbers against it, and there, or you know what you're trying to do with it. But branding, which is the thing that we want most of all,
uh-huh.
We want to be great brands. We want to be powerful brands. We want to be big brands. We want to be brands people care about, is so wishy-washy and so fuzzy. And I think the title of the article, I think, was about why branding is like molding fog. And that's exactly what it's like, right? Or has been like. It's like molding fog. And so that was my great frustration when I worked in advertising, writing Super Bowl spots and other things, is that at the end of the day, everyone wanted to be Nike and Apple because people knew, well, they were great big brands, and everyone wanted to be a part of them for some reason that we couldn't define. And that's why, as I mentioned during our first podcast, you know, I worked in my garden in Wilton, Connecticut, one summer trying to figure that out, because I had a problem with Lego. They were being inauthentic at the time. But it was just this inarticulate feeling that something was wrong at Lego. And of course, this was during the time when they were slowly going out of business. But what was it? And so I started to think about what attracts us? Well, why do some products and services mean something to us while others don't? And that's what got me to where I am today with the primal branding, social code, and so forth. And so these days, actually, people in social media need to know, okay, what is the creation story? What are we, what do we really mean to people? What signifies us? How do we identify, how do people identify us? Icons. How do people use us? Where do we want to be seen? What do we not never want to become? What are the words that we should be using? You know, which is not only SEO, but search engine stuff, but what are, how are people describing us, and what are the words that draw them in, and what are the, and you know, and we, God knows we do have metrics against those, don't we? Yeah. And then who is the leader? You know, who's behind this whole thing? And once we can identify those parts, then it's a question of, okay, now how do we distribute that through social media? And how, in these days, how do we get that on mobile? So once we can accomplish that, produce that, and I mean, those are the tasks that we hand out to our different partners, advertise, whether it's traditional advertising, out of home, social media, including Instagram, Facebook, you know, and so forth, and our experiential agencies, you know, going out there, whether it's, you know, we're doing stuff for Red Bull or whatever it is, Nike, marathons, et cetera, et cetera. So this becomes that total omni-channel, 360-degree marketing mantra.
Awesome.
Really, doesn't it?
It is as applicable now as it ever has been, especially 2 years ago when we first chatted. As we wrap up today, Patrick, is there a brand that has made you smile recently?
We're done?
We are done. It flew by.
That did fly by.
It just like the 2 years. I'm just going to keep beating that dead horse of two years of podcasts.
Is there a brand that makes me smile? I can tell you that are brands that are that I used to smile about. I smile less today.
Oh,
these days, Apple, Starbucks, for example. The thing that is making me smile, and this isn't really a brand, this is a concept, I guess, more than anything at the moment. But the thing that really makes me smile right now and gives me a sense that there are really some new opportunities out there is virtual reality.
Yeah.
I've just spent the last couple of days talking to a bunch of companies out there that are doing some of the best things that are out there in virtual reality right now. And it's really a sense of there's something really brand new going on here, and they're still inventing things. I mentioned to one of them, what about that new? I just saw that someone launched a piece of software that so you could make a storyboard for virtual reality. He went, there is? Great. Can you send me the URL? I mean, they're that new, and they're still making the words that they still haven't formed the words to describe what they do. And technologically, or, you know, much less to some clients and so forth. And so, you know, it's still finding its reason for being. And they're really at that stage where, you know, that photography, well, film was when Meyerbridge was doing all those film experiments with the man running, the running man and the horse. Remember those?
Yeah.
Still frame things. and had to we were talking about it and remembered that in film history, it was 10 years before anyone did shot a close up of someone's face. All the first films were wide back, wide shots, because they were imitating theater. And then someone came up with the idea, well, we can move in close on them. And it was earth-shattering. People probably vomited in the theaters from the experience. But anyway, that's the thing that makes me, to answer your question, that's the thing that makes me smile.
Lots of possibility and smiles. Smile, yeah. Potential there.
Smile potential.
Where can we send folks to learn more about who you are and what you do?
Thinktopia.com. Thinktopia. And of course, on Facebook, there's a primal branding thing on Facebook now where I try to add something every day.
That's awesome. I will link up to all of that in our show notes. Pat, thanks for joining us again on Brand.
I can't wait to hear the next 99 episodes. So hopefully I can come back.
Right. Exactly. All right.
Well, be well, my friend.
Thank you. And before we go, I always like to flip the microphone around to our community. This past week, wanted to give a big shout out to Conrad Chua, head of Cambridge MBA Admissions and Marketing, for his recent tweet about our episode featuring content marketing whiz Robert Rose. Conrad, thanks for listening. And a reminder, if you heard something that you liked on this episode or another, or if you have a question you'd like one of our guests to answer, let me know on Twitter using the hashtag OnBrandPodcast, and you may just hear your thoughts right here on the show. Last but not least, you can find links to everything we talked about at BrandDrivenDigital.com. You can subscribe to the show via iTunes, Stitcher, and RSS. Speaking of iTunes, if you like what you're hearing, head over there, give us a quick rating and review, help others find the show. And remember, On Brand is also brought to you by my book, Get Scrappy, Smarter Digital Marketing for Businesses Big and Small. Order now at Amazon and check out GetScrappyBook.com for special offers and extras. Until next week, I'm Nick Westergaard, and I'll see you on the internet.
This has been the On Brand Podcast, presented by Brand Driven Digital. For show notes, links, and more, go to onbrandpodcast.com. Remember, you can subscribe to the show and leave a rating and review at iTunes and Stitcher. Thanks for listening.
This podcast is heard along the Marketing Podcast Network. For more great marketing podcasts, visit marketingpodcasts.net.